B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is there any one thing you can pinpoint about having a home game in the playoffs that gives you an advantage?
I don't think it's any advantage. I mean, last week, three of the four road teams won. The advantage is the team that plays well. That's what we're going to do. Playing coach our best game Sunday afternoon. That's our goal.
I know these coaches have to play up the opposition and play down their advantages, but to say there's no advantage being at home, now we're getting stupid.
No. You know what? No, let's just get on the plane and go play in L.A. then. What are we doing?
Right.
Let's go play in L.A.
I agree.
I like how he spit in that reporter's face and essentially was saying, oh, I guess you didn't watch Wild Card Weekend last week, you stupid son of a bitch. Oh, sorry, Bill. I thought it might be an advantage with the cold and home. You know, your record.
Oh, no, no, no. No. The cold's not an advantage either. Do you have that exchange, Jimmy?
You haven't expressed a great deal of confidence in the weather forecasting of the past, but it looks like Sunday's going to be 20s. Is that an advantage playing a team from L.A., warm weather team?
They're a good football team. I think it's we're playing the Chargers. We're not playing the weather. Whatever it is.
So zero advantage there, Coach?
Yeah. Going to be on the same field.
Do you know why I think this happened?
Why?
This is one of Marshall Hook's cronies at Channel 7, and Bill doesn't like him. It's not Byron Barnett, but it's another Jamoke.
Yeah, maybe, but he answered the same question the same way.
He was in mumbling form.
Could be on the same field. They're a good football team. I think we're playing the Chargers. We're playing the weather.
Yeah, we're playing the weather.
Whatever it is.
The Chargers we're playing. We're not playing Storm from X-Men or the Cold Miser. I don't know what you're talking about.
Could be on the same field.
Maybe it'd be on the same field. Nothing matters, though.
Great mood.
Seriously, mumbles.
God. Meanwhile, Josh. Hey, Mike. How you doing? Hey, good morning, Adam. How are you? Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, thanks for answering both those questions. No problem, Mike. Whatever you need.
Oh, the home field one. When I read through the transcript,
like,
it sent me
stop?
Into. Oh God, please!
At some point,
No, okay, all right then. So, Bill, during the regular season, then when you're trying to win your games, you mean home field is not a priority? Because you say it doesn't matter. So tell you what, we don't even have to play the game in L.A. Let's go play it in Cincinnati. Why not?
There's anyone on the injury report.
Oh, it's so disingenuous. Like, oh, you liar. You liar. Like, that's one of those things where the whole plan all along is win the division, get home field, all of that. Because you know what the record is, home and road. Oh, it's so weedly.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Josh. How are you?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last
week. I don't think it really matters. It's Sam Hill.
Good morning, Adam. How are you, Josh? Great. What do you need? Thanks for answering the question, Josh. My pleasure.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm just great, Josh. Thank you so much. Bill, tell me, the winning percentage of home teams is like 750 or something like that. Is home field an advantage?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Tom in Connecticut. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. You know, one thing you haven't really talked about, or maybe you have, I think the bye week makes a team vulnerable if they're playing a good team. For instance, you played last year, Tennessee after the bye, the year before Houston. But you haven't played a team the caliber of San Diego. And I think what happens when you take a week off, particularly late in the season, they're thoroughbreds. They're used to certain timing. Yes, they'll get more rested. But San Diego, the intensity of the playoffs is so much higher than the regular season. And they're coming in with a very high intense game under their belt against Baltimore. And they're going to be playing a team sitting on their butts for the past week, and I think San Diego is going to come in and punch them in the mouth.
Okay, I mean, I agree with that take. That's my prediction. I mean, I think the Chargers are going to win. But sometimes you're knocking off a little bit of rust. And if you're facing a good opponent, there's a factor there. It may have happened to you against Baltimore a couple years ago. It may have happened to you against Houston that you ultimately won, but you weren't particularly sharp in that ballgame. And I can go back in history. I even remember. Was it 2003? There was that Tennessee game in freezing cold weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You won late, But, you know, that was a great Patriots team, but it was a little nip and tuck. It was a little closer than it should have been. And I've seen that. I've seen that from the Patriots. I've seen that from everyone. Like that's sort of a byproduct. Now, eventually, you know, that wears off and the benefit of the bye should come through. But I've seen that. I think it's more of a factor for a team like Kansas City, though, I'll tell you, who has 0 for their last 6 at home, haven't won a playoff game in how many, you know, Andy Reid prepared, and they've got to now think of that for 14 days and then show up after they've had their momentum stopped a little bit. I think that could play against the Chiefs a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Look, I don't think all 4 bye teams are going to win this weekend. I mean, someone's going to lose.
That's been the trend the last several years, you know.
That
though.
They have won.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in this year's NFL feels to me a lot more balanced than some of the other years. And I don't know, maybe I'm not giving New Orleans enough credit. But to me, New Orleans at the end of the year wasn't playing great either. Like, I don't know. I feel this NFL this year is pretty tight.
Okay, so Maz has the Patriots. Doug has a good follow-up question. Go, Doug.
Yes, Maz, I have 2 questions for you. I know you picked the Patriots to win, but will they cover? And also, what do you think the final score will be?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm not going to tell you they will cover. What I will tell you is that I would take the points. Okay,
so this is another one. It's like...
Yes, it's inconsistent.
No, it's not inconsistent. It's just, boy, you admit San Diego's the better team, and you'll take the points. But you have the Pats outright. You're sort of, I mean, you could absolutely be right. You're pretty good at picking, unlike me.
How's that fence?
I know, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm safe here, Jimmy.
No, that's
no matter what happens, I'm going to be right.
Felger's like, oh, why didn't I think of this? I can pick the Patriots and take the points.
Damn. No, you got the Patriots in a close game. That's fair. But you're just sort of narrowing your window.
I am. I'm totally narrowing. I completely admit that. The first thing I did when I saw the point spread is I say, I'll take the points. In this kind of game, if it's more than a field goal or more, because a field goal you push. If it's a 3-point game, I'll take the points. Because I think it's going to be that tight a game. But I do like the idea of a 41-year-old quarterback and his 2 top receiving targets who are beat up coming off a bye. I think the bye helps them.
Pete, give me a quick Celtics thought.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air. Go.
Hey, I'll go real quick, okay? Danny Ainge is kind of handed Brad Stevens a little bit of a problem. The last 4 games, they were playing perfect basketball, okay? 8 guys in double figures, 35 assists a game. That's what they need to go forward this season because last year in the playoffs, Tatum 19, Brown 18, Rozier 17, Al Horford 16. Now you got Morris with 20, Hayward with 20. Kyrie with 20 plus. You got 7 guys who are top notch scorers. It doesn't work.
Okay, so I have a hard time blaming Ainge. I really do, for acquiring too much talent. I blame the players. I mean, that's just, you know, it's fun to blame coaches and GMs, and I'll do it as much as anyone, but it's hard to get on Ainge for acquiring too much talent. Like, wow, it's a tough thing to criticize someone for. I put Stevens way ahead of Ainge in terms of that. You know, it's the coach's job now to figure this out. But on the top of the list is the players.
I mean, just accept the role. It's about the greater good. It's not about whether you get 18 a game or, you know, 11.6. It doesn't matter. You know, and I'll tell you what, I actually think Hayward's done a pretty decent job in that regard.
He has.
His scoring has gone down overall, and he's taken fewer shots, and it doesn't feel to me like he's pouting like some of the other guys are pouting. I'm not telling you he's played well. Lately, it's been a lot better. But overall, I don't think Hayward has really been disruptive.
All right, Murray, do me a favor. Go to those thermostats and turn down the temperature in here because it's about to get hot.
That's right.
It's about to get heated in here. Talk to Soci right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass. It's time for Hot Sports Takes.
Ready, Bob?
With Stand Bob back. Soci.
Here comes Bob Soci. It's called him Bob Soci, and his hot takes. Smoking Bob Soci. His podcast and the really hot takes.
Bob. All right, here we go, Bob Soci. voice of the Patriots, joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He'll have the call of the game Sunday at 1 o'clock here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Michael. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Bob.
I was shocked to hear moments ago that you picked the Patriots to win this game,
Me too.
I know why. You picked with your heart because you want to do this for a few more weeks, don't you?
No. I picked with my head. No, look, I told you, I'm being 100% serious.
No,
I know you think I'm
the
devil,
Pats,
Bob.
Not necessarily, but your heart for me in that particular song.
No chance.
All right.
I just think that I think within, again, I can't say it enough times, Brady's 41. Now, he may have outlasted time in many ways, but the extra week will help a guy like that. And Gronk and Edelman, and I think that that's huge for them right now. If they had to play back-to-back games, I wouldn't feel great about it.
Bobby, neutral site, equal rest. Who wins?
Well, I felt that the Chargers have maybe the most complete team in the conference. In terms of you look at the individual collective talent, the different ways that they can beat you on offense, Rivers, good quarterback, if not a great quarterback throughout his career. Some people debate whether he should be in the Hall of Fame. Allen, Williams, that's as good a receiving tandem as there is. Good running backs. They throw the ball to the backs. They can run the ball defensively. They've got great pass rushers, a lot of speed, very good players in the secondary, especially James and King is just a good football player. They produce in the return game. They got a good place kicker. It's a very good team in New England, though. And I would say this again and again. Until proven otherwise, I wouldn't bet against Brady. I wouldn't bet against Belichick. I wouldn't bet against Edelman and Gronk and all the rest.
Okay. What stands out to you in this matchup? What's in your notebook there?
Oh, there's a lot in my notebook. I was just saying to Billy Lanny and Jimmy before coming in here, I'm so overwhelmed by numbers all week long. And I think the key numbers in this game from the Chargers' perspective is 9-0 outside of L.A. County, five time zones in which they've won. So going back and forth, I think it would have a big impact on a lot of teams playing in cold weather as a warm weather team.
You might someone might say that they're actually calloused to long travel. Go ahead, proceed.
Okay. Well,
he's flustered.
I'm not callous enough to make a statement like that. But I think that, to me, they're hardened, they're confident. I think they're a tough football team. I think they have belied a lot of the notions about soft SoCal West Coast football. They were down by 17 in Pittsburgh. They won. They won at Seattle. They played against Kansas City. They started the game without Melvin Gordon. Eckler was hurt. Justin Jackson's the third string running back, and he has a good game. But then they lose Keenan Allen early in the game, and they still win it. And on the biggest play of the night, fourth down, Rivers throws a dart to Travis Benjamin. So, from my standpoint, this is a team that's won in a lot of different ways. They've won everywhere they've gone. Last week, they dominated the Ravens. That game was not as close as the final score indicated, the way it was unfolding. To do that after only a couple of weeks being removed from the Ravens doing the opposite to them.
So you don't diminish what the Chargers have done to this
point? Not at all. Not at all.
Right. I agree.
I mean, that Kansas City game, they were down 14. I looked it up again. Three different times.
Yeah.
14 zip, 21-7, 28-14, and they came back and won 29-28.
And Rivers threw an interception early, and then he threw an interception late in the first half when they had a lot of momentum and they were driving, and you think, okay, you can't make mistakes like that against Mahomes, and they hold him to 243 yards passing. They hold the Chiefs to 28 points at home on a short week, no less. So the Chargers did that shorthanded short week. And as you said, Tony, they're down three different times, 14-0. I think it was 21-7. Then it was 28-14 late.
When the guests aren't listening. Yeah, Jimmy, write that down. How do you feel about Anthony Lynn?
I like him. I think, with all the talk about Sean McVay in Southern California and some of the other hot young coaches, to me, Anthony Lynn is just a good football coach. Now, he's got good assistants. Gus Bradley running the defense. He ran a good defense in Seattle for Pete Carroll. You can question his head coaching credentials based on his career with Jacksonville. But Ken Wisenhunt as well. As a head coach, he's gotten a team to the Super Bowl with Arizona. And I think as a play caller, does a very good job. This is a balanced team. They got a quarterback who's very experienced, tough to trick. And overall, it's a good staff. But I do like Anthony Lynn. There's a lot about him. He played under Mike Shanahan and two Super Bowl champions with Denver. He was really groomed by Bill Parcells. I coached under Romeo Crennel. I know a lot of people associate him with Rex Ryan, but he's a good coach, and I think he's had a good pedigree. And I just like the toughness, I like the confidence. I like the fact that after they won that game against the Ravens, as they were celebrating the locker room, He stormed out of the players right
four
away.
Four quarters. Bob Sosa again with the call here on Sunday on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chargers signed a kickoff specialist here at the last minute. Is that a good sign or a bad sign for them?
Well, they have a very good place kicker when it comes to placements, which is completely out of the ordinary for the Chargers.
Sure.
I think Badgley's the seventh different place kicker they've had, and we know about the history of Nate Kading, and was it the other kicker who came
Lambeau?
Missed one off the upright against the Patriots a number of years ago, and they've had so many different guys have been in and out of here for the Chargers. Badgley's been terrific. Five field goals last week, including a 53-yarder in Baltimore in those conditions.
Into the wind on that kick.
And he's a guy that, you know, they have a lot of confidence in, and they've talked about how much he's changed the mentality of that football team, that they finally have a kicker they can believe in. Because how many times they lost games, including last year, it cost them the playoffs. They were 9-3 in their final 12 games. Had they not started at 0-4, losing a couple of those games because of missed kicks,
but you know what I'm asking about
into the postseason.
The kickoff guys, yeah, a sign of panic or is it a sign of attention to detail?
See, that to me is a notch in the column in favor of Anthony Lynn and the attention to detail. Badgley, as Jay Feely described him, is a high ball kicker. Maybe that had something to do with the fact that on six kickoffs,
0 for 6,
couldn't get to the end zone, and now you're going up against a team who has one of the best return men of all time. And one of the best kickoff return units of Bill Belichick's coaching career, and you're in a playoff game on the road, and it's going to be decided by the narrowest of margins, you figure, you get a guy who can get the ball, you hope, you expect, to the end zone for touchbacks playing here against the Patriots.
Okay, football matchup. Take out the site, the travel, blah, blah, blah. Just X and O. What do you got in there?
Well, to me, running backs, and I know we're talking about running the ball. I heard your analysis early in the week, and yeah, whether they play extra defensive backs or not, I think the running backs, their involvement in the passing game and running it, it's important. Both of these teams like to throw to their backs. The Patriots had a lot of success last year with Burkhead and White catching the ball against the Chargers. If they go light and put speed on the field, and they've been down linebackers of late, then you can do a lot with the 21 personnel for the Pats, the two running backs with Devlin included, and run the ball behind him. If they go with base, then you can use him.
21 personnel. Things. I got this wrong yesterday, Maz. Were you paying attention? 21
yeah.
personnel.
Yeah, two backs.
I like to throw that out.
Two backs and
one tight end.
Okay, there
yeah.
you go.
You know, and then if they go with base, then you can kind of manipulate and try to create some matchups by flexing those guys out. But I think the biggest thing for me is who scores touchdowns in the red zone. It's all cliches. And last year in the game here, the Patriots could not score in the red zone. But there have been a lot of times in the past, including an AFC Championship game, when the Chargers couldn't convert opportunities. Last year, they had tremendous field position against the Ravens. They were very conservative in their approach, and they settled for field goals, and that was enough to beat Lamar Jackson. How are they going to score touchdowns against the Patriots with their red zone defense? How are the Patriots going to score touchdowns, considering the relative inefficiencies of that particular part of their offense all season long against the Chargers? And I think that's the key area for me, as well as the mistakes or the lack thereof. And it comes down to the quarterbacks. The two greats of their time, if not all time. Rivers is a guy who last week played under control. One of the things people say about Lynn is he's brought a steadying hand to that team and calmed an emotional quarterback in a lot of ways. Rivers, though, started three straight games with an interception on the first series before last week's playoff contest versus the Ravens. Is there a situation where if the Patriots can affect him with pressure, not that they're going to fool him, but force one of those back foot throws, maybe in the cold it's a little bit harder to put some touch on the ball. He's terrific. I'm a big fan of his. I love the toughness, the grit, but I think it comes down to maybe a mistake, and that's why I don't bet against the Patriots and Brady.
Well, look, even Ted Johnson said yesterday, Rivers is the kind of guy that will give you one. He'll give you one.
There's going to be one of those hero balls every now and then.
What's your biggest concern for the Patriots?
My biggest concern for the Patriots is the pressure that the Chargers can get on New England with Ingram and Bosa, but also
Rushing four.
And you know, they're good enough if they rush more than that to get to the quarterback. This team is very solid, I think. And, you know, they we think about the cover three and Brady's success against Seattle's defense. I can't imagine that Gus Bradley isn't going to add to his game plan and try to counteract. He's well aware of the success Brady's had against Dan Quinn and the other teams that employ that Seattle style of defense. I wonder, you know, how much does he borrow from what the Falcons did in the first half of the game in Super Bowl 51 with that robber coverage and just kind of muddying the middle? I don't know that the Patriots, have all the answers the way they did eventually for that game. Adjustments, counter-adjustments are going to be important in this game. And I think the thing about the Chargers, they're very experienced as a staff, and they've been in Super Bowls in the case of Lynn as a player, in the case of his coordinators as assistants. And I think they have a good awareness that the Patriots are a team that's going to continue to adjust, and they may go in the game already with second-half adjustments in mind.
Okay, Bob, thanks for coming in, as always. Good luck with the call. We look forward to it. Sunday at 105 here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Robert,
see you, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, kid. And, of course, out there, always tune in to the Bobcast. That's available on 98.5thesportshub.com. Update from Murray. Right back to your calls, I promise.
Felger and Maz. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is, the time of year we gotta, go out and be at our best. So it all comes down to this. It's a production-based league, regardless of what's happened to this point. It's about winning this game. If you don't play great, really in all three phases, I don't think there's anytime you play good teams, you can't, expect one phase of your team to carry you. It's got to be a great complementary game. We're playing against a team that's played as well as any team all season. We want to go out and play well as an offense. Our defense has to play well. We have to play well in the kicking game. It's, everybody's kind of, at the point of attack.
Tom Brady from today. Both Brady and Belichick spoke. We'll continue to play those cuts throughout the course of the day, but as promised, right back to your phones. Patriots Chargers, of course, but there's a little meat on the bone with the Celtics last night. They had an altercation on their bench. A little shoving match last night between Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown as they got blown out in Miami, the worst defeat of the year. And so there's a little meat on the bone with the Celtics and even a little meat on the chicken there with the Bruins, where the Capitals calling out Brad Marchand for basically being a coward and not taking a fight. I think Marchand was absolutely in the right. Smart thing to do, not to take a fight in a 1-0 game against a fourth liner. Even though he owes him one, Marchand owes Lars Eller a rematch. There's no question about it. But wait till it's 5-0 and it doesn't impact the game. That was in the middle of a 1-0 game. And so Marchand was right. Those are the topics that we've been hitting on, but we'll get back to your phones and let's get this out of the way. Hi, Carlton.
Hey, it sounds like Alex Guerrero, the cancer fraud doctor there, is slipping some hallucinogens into Tommy's supply of TV brain water, and that also Tommy may have sent Maz a case of it, with his Chargers prediction. So let me tell you how this
Maz has the Patriots, just to be clear.
Yeah, I realize that. He's delusional, okay? Unlike the first two Rivers-Brady playoff matchups, when Brady threw three interceptions in each one of the games, and yet somehow skated on through. This Sunday, both Tommy Boy and Sony Michel, who, by the way, put the ball on the ground 12 times at the University of Georgia, rushing the ball, they're both going to drop the pigskin, as Billy Boy cannot figure out a way to get a pin in the football this week.
Well, I was just going to say, Carlton, isn't it interesting that Michel fumbles 12 times in Georgia, but not once here? How did they do that?
The refs are going to be all over that locker room this weekend, so Bill's going to have an extra special effort to deflate to football. And so next week, you guys are going to get introduced to Mini B, your new coach. The guy who filmed the 49ers in London, the guy who stiffed all the guys who moved their families cross country to take defensive and offensive coordinator jobs with the Colts. And he's a perfect replica of Bill, except for the grumbling and the winning. So this Sunday, 49 hours and counting, guys, the reign of Darth Belichick ends.
Okay, so Carlton's got the Patriots losing and Bill leaving.
It's over. He's going to Cleveland. They hired a head coach. What am I talking about? They have Freddie Kittens.
They already have Freddie Kittens. Cam and Taunton, your thought on the Celts?
I said this to Murray before the Christmas. You know what the Celtics team is? This is the basketball version of the 2011 Red Sox. All the talent in the world. As soon as they get punched in the face, they whittle and cry, and they bitch and moan about everything after the games. Jaylen Brown, because this time last year, I thought he was the opposite of this. I thought he was a mature kid. I mean, after game two in the conference final last year, tremendous focus. We're going to get ready for game three going against LeBron. Now, we're going to the finals, five rings by the time I'm 26, and I'm a guy who's been the most consistent player on the team. Jaylen Brown, Maz, let alone the most disappointing player on the Celtics, he's been the most disappointing player in the NBA. Most people had it projected to be an all-star this year, and he has sucked. But I know he's been better recently. I don't get it. What's wrong with this team. Talent always translates to the NBA, but not with the 2018-19 Celtics. They just can't figure it out.
Okay, so the 2011 Red Sox is a little strong. I don't think these guys are pounding beer during games in the clubhouse.
But they obviously can't figure it out, and this is why I think you saw the reaction from Kyrie Irving in that video of the shoving match, because there was articles that came out just before last night's game saying, hey, we cleared the air in that meeting after that loss to the Bucks. We needed it. We weren't at rock bottom, but we were at close. We were close. It cleared the air. It fixed everything. And then this happens? They can't get out of their own way.
Shoving each other on the sideline?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, too, and again, I'm going back to the Himmelsback game story in the Globe, where he says that Kyrie left the locker room after the game and then went to the practice gym to shoot.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. Why?
So, no.
Why would I believe it?
No. I think he went to shoot, and then he said, yeah, you know, I wanted to go work on my shot.
Or maybe he just wanted to get out of there.
That's what I think.
Blow off some steam. You know, just
more I think about it.
Get me away from these guys.
Right. Like we got a young guy flapping his gums at a guy like Marcus Morris, and these guys don't get it. So, you know what? I need to go cool off. I'm going to go shoot. Kyrie needs to work on his shot? Since when? He's a sniper. Like, and don't get me wrong. Of course he needs to work on his shot. They all do. But
I understand
your
point here.
Like, I think it was a cover. That's what I think. And so, you know
what?
It's
the equivalent of a punching bag.
Yeah.
And it was just blowing off steam. That's
exactly right. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go shoot.
Good analogy, Murray. Okay, you thought Carlton was a Patriots hater. Get a load of Steven Stoneham. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, you're against pablum and nonsense, Felga. But you know what? I hear a lot of it go over your ear with this Philip Rivers and the Brady's in Philip Rivers' head. Why would he be in Philip Rivers' head?
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Here's his stats in these two games. Okay, 2007, 27 for 51, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks.
That's Brady.
2008.
That's Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Brady. 22 of 33, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. So he's got 4 touchdowns, 6 picks, and he's 49 for 84 in 2 games.
Well, Steve, let me say this. I'm going to cut you off there. I think those games mean nothing in terms of Brady's play against them. So he played poorly against them in 06 and 07. But if we're going to be consistent, if we're counting Rivers 0-7 against Brady with games that go back a decade, why can't you bring up Brady's poor play against the Bolt?
You can, and I'll tell you what, I didn't even realize until Carlton said it, and then Steve took it a step further because I looked it up after Carlton's call. 3 picks in both games against San Diego.
He was bad in that. He was bad in both games. He made winning plays in 06. They came back in that game, and I remember one ball to Richey Caldwell that had set up either the tying score or the go-ahead score.
Yeah, down the right sideline.
Yeah, he made some big plays in that game, but he wasn't good overall. And he wasn't good overall in that 07 game.
Oh, the AFC Championship game. He had a horrible pick in the end zone.
So, look, I think Philip Rivers losing to the Patriots in 06 is meaningless. Just as I think Brady's poor play in that game is meaningless. But you out there, you want to plug 0-7 up on the board but take away the Brady games in the past. I don't know how that's not fair.
Tom Brady, 3 interceptions in the postseason twice against San Diego. Twice.
So I don't think that means anything. I really don't.
You have your stats that help your agenda, Felga. We got ours.
Yes, this is true. Jay in Boston. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just wanted to touch base regarding the NFL coaches and specifically who has the most to gain and who has the most to lose in the playoffs here. Obviously, we know Belichick, you know, his
Well, just give me your answer. Who's got the most to gain and who's got the most to lose?
I would say
that phone's not going to make it. I'll ask the panel. Who's got the most to gain?
The most to gain out of the whole field?
You know what? Let me start with this because I feel strongly about the other one. Who's got the most to lose? I'll tell you.
Sean McVay.
Sean McVay. Oh, my God. Anyone who has smelled one of Sean McVay's farts is getting head coaching jobs, right? Anyone who is handsome or may have known him or may have worked with him for like 30 seconds is getting jobs.
Right. This offensive coordinator that's there that does nothing might be the new Bengals head coach. I was just reading.
Exactly right.
Like, what have you done, dude? You do nothing. You're not the offensive coordinator. He is.
They put in the press release for Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona that he's friends with Sean McVay.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
They put that in the press release.
Also handsome.
Okay, so if he loses on Sunday, now you're talking about a guy who's like spawned this whole movement and he's never won a playoff game. That's easily the most to lose, in my opinion.
Oh, without question. He's the only guy. Because at this point, Jason...
Who's got the most to gain? Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett, I guess.
Jason Garrett, for sure, because I think he's a bum.
I mean, it felt like he was going to get fired towards the end of the year.
Well,
and now, he's getting more entrenched by the day.
I don't know if he was ever in danger, but, you know, he's the one that I think the least of, and I think he has the most to prove. So there you go. There's your most to gain, most to lose.
So he's talking just coaches now, the caller.
Well, you can answer it however you want, since you have a thought, I can tell.
No, I don't have a thought because I missed the beginning of the
coaches,
question.
Coaches.
Okay.
Just coaches. We've got a long commercial-free segment where I want to discuss Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski. Could this be the last game for Rob Gronkowski as a New England Patriot? Do you ever think of it in those terms?
Sure.
Do you ever think about that? That hasn't really been on the radar. But let's discuss that right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
What is your mindset just where you mentioned when your season's over? I mean, for you, just based on some of the discussion of the last year, your career, sort of what's your mindset with this game, where you go from here after that?
Oh, my mindset is just all focused on the Chargers. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year, Sunday, 1 o'clock. I mean, just last few days is putting the preparation in, all focus on the Chargers, all focus on whatever I can do to help out the team, whatever the coaches ask me to do. I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability during practice, and I'm bringing it out to game week on Sunday.
So Mike Reese asked a question, and it was a little tough to hear, and it was wordy, so you may not have understood what Mike was asking. And if Mike were here, I'd sit him on my knee and say, Mike, next time, put it like this. Rob, do you feel this could be your last game as a Patriot? Because that's what the question implies. Yeah, he says, based on some of the discussion this year, at the point you're at in your career, what's your mindset with this game and where you go from here after that? I mean, again, it's right. He's couching it. Based on some of the discussion this year, at the point you're at in your career, what's your mindset with this game and where you go from here after that? In other words, do you feel this could be your last game as a Patriot?
Right. Is this it?
And so my mindset's the chart. I mean, get the same answer. You probably do get the same answer. But, you don't really think of it in those terms, or I haven't. It hasn't occurred to me.
Me neither.
They could lose this game, and that could be it for Rob Gronkowski, one of the great players to ever come through here. And that is, he is on the short list with Brady, Ty Law, Hannah. You know, my retired number thing, you know, there's only three or four or five guys up there. And Gronk's up there. He's one of them. And this could be the last one.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that if you're asking me just to my two cents, I think this postseason is it. And again, I haven't given this a lot of thought this week either, but I'll tell you who has. Belichick. I'm sure that he told Gronk ahead of time, let's not make this into a Rob Gronkowski farewell tour. So, because I think listening to that exchange, Gronk knew what Reese was asking.
Yeah, you know, Rob's no dummy. He acts it sometimes, but he knew exactly what he was asking.
Absolutely. He knew what the question was, and he wasn't going to go there because I'm sure Bill told him, let's start that thing.
I don't know if Bill needed to tell him. He knows not to make it about his retirement.
So that might be true,
that's
too.
That's obvious.
But either way, the vibe, he's not going there. But there's that very real possibility. In fact, I'd go so far at this stage to call it a probability. I mean, if Gronk were to come back for another year at this stage, I'd be surprised.
I mean, that's a consensus opinion, would he come back under his current contract, which is, $9, $10 million, maybe, but the Pats are going to cut him. I mean, cut his pay. They're going to want to give him a haircut because now he's not producing at that level. So now Gronkowski, who had one foot out the door anyway, is going to be told, you can come back, but on a pay cut. Then what does he do? So, I mean, that just feels like the consensus opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, this isn't just us speculating as, radio hosts. We've had Bedard say it. We've had Paul Perillo say it.
No, we've had more reputable people speculate
about it. Yeah, I mean, well, people that cover the team.
Yeah, and we piggyback on their speculation.
And considering the season he's had, I've resigned myself to that. It's almost kind of a shame what's happened to him this year. I mean, he's had some flashes, but he's just a shell of what he used to be.
Okay, so watch this diversion. Give me the second Q&A there, Jimmy.
You feel pretty healthy at this point in time?
Yeah,
okay, so just stop. The question is, do you feel pretty, because it's hard to hear, do you feel pretty healthy at this point in time? Again, answer.
Yeah, I mean, we're going into the playoffs. We just had a bye week, so practice is going well, doing what the coaches asked me to do, so just getting ready for the game Sunday.
So he answered that maybe more than I gave it credit for when I read it. Like, when I first read it, it was, how do you feel? Yep, we just had a bye week. Practices are going well. We're getting ready for the game Sunday. Like, he didn't answer it. But he did kind of. I missed the yeah on the transcript. So I guess he gave you a little something there.
But I find it interesting that he mentioned the bye week. Like,
right.
You know, like as if to say, yeah, I've had a chance to heal a little bit. Almost acknowledging that there is something there, right? And look, I suppose you could say generically, they all benefit from a bye week in week 18, right? Because that's, you know, that's ultimately that's probably what he means. I think there's more to it than that. I think that he's saying, yeah, you know, I've been banged up all year and just get a bye week and feel better. I just don't know how far these guys are going to go, even from that standpoint. Like, you start piling game upon game here in the playoffs, because you and I both know, we all know, these games are like playing two NFL games during the season. These games are so physical, these playoff games. I don't think they have the bodies to get through it.
Let's grab a couple phones before we hit the top of the hour. Mac in Anaheim, California. Go ahead, Mac.
Thanks, Felger. The Chargers have a very good team today, but it's not sustainable here in L.A. Hardly anybody wears any Chargers flag. I work outside in L.A. and O.C. In 95, when the Rams left SoCal, fans did one of two things. They kept rooting for the Rams or the Raiders. The most popular teams here are the Raiders, the Cowboys.
Mac.
And now that the Rams came back, Broncos.
Mac.
Yeah? Yeah.
Do you think that this is a play that they moved there because of the next couple of years, or is it for the next 30?
But so my bigger one of the points here is between the Raiders, Broncos, Steelers, and Patriots fans, they all don't like the Chargers. It should have been the Raiders that came here.
Mac, right now they don't like the Chargers. And should have been the Raiders? Maybe it should have. I mean, the L.A. Raiders worked like from day one because of the gear, frankly. I don't know. There's something about L.A. and the black jerseys, and like it just clicked. But it's not about now. So you're right. Right now, no one cares about the Chargers. That's right. No one cares about the Chargers. It's about the next 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. And are they the best fit for there? No, they're not. But, I mean, like, they're going to when they move into this billion-dollar thing, they're going to sign a 20, 30-year lease or something like this, and they're going to be there. And if they're good and winning championships or win a champion, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. And eventually, it may not be now, it may not be in 10 years, but they will be the L.A. Chargers. People were forgotten about San Diego, and it will have worked there. They understand right now that more people care about the Anaheim Ducks than the L.A. Chargers. It's not about right now.
But, and thank you, Jimmy, for just alerting me to a post that just went up from Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports.
Uh-oh.
NFL has considered moving the AFC Championship game if Chargers are in line to host. Possible scenario of an all-LA conference championship game played on Sunday and Monday has also been discussed.
Because they want to move them to the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I think that's stupid.
Huh.
It's dumb.
Oh, it just kind of vindicates a certain someone, I guess.
Good job, Murray.
It just goes to show you, though, that they don't want the game in that stadium. And the league doesn't want the game in that 30,000-seat stadium.
And I've never told you how they were going to feel. I'm telling you how they should feel. Who cares? You go from a 30-seat stadium to a 60-seat stadium? What's the difference? It's a TV show. What do you care?
You can't get all the media you need in there. The place is too
small. Who cares about them? Grubby sports writers. You want, because you have to crowbar Bedard into a tight seat in the press box, they're going to move to the Coliseum?
Maybe they could oil them.
Okay.
Fit these guys into the press box?
While I generally agree with you, but if you don't accommodate the media, what does the media typically do?
Let them bitch. Who cares?
And how will the NFL react to that? They don't want any bad press right now. They've had a good year.
So,
Mike, take the L on this one for now, will you?
Mike, they can't have the AFC Championship game in a 30,000-seat stadium.
I think they should. I don't care. I don't think they should care. Do they care? You're right, Murray. You're right. I didn't think they would, but apparently they do. Why would you? Who cares?
So if the Patriots are in it, let's just, you know, play at BC?
It's a temporary stadium.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, they can't do it. There's a joke.
The Vikings redid the Metrodome, and they played for, 3 years at the Minnesota Stadium?
Sure.
If they were in the playoffs, they would have hosted NFC Championship games. Everyone would have understood, under renovation, what's the difference?
Yeah, but that place also holds, 60,000 people.
I don't know if
accommodate the media.
I don't know if it's 60. Now, all of a sudden, we're concerned about Perillo? I don't get this.
You have to oil him too.
Again, I'm not, but the NFL should be, because they know they'll bitch and there'll be a million articles and it become a thing that they will have to deal with.
Who cares?
It's just a bad look.
Just goes to show you the NFL is run by a bunch of Zionists. They don't want the AFC Championship game in Los Angeles.
I don't know what that has to do with
it. It's a false flag conspiracy.
But okay.
I'm just trying to, you know.
I understand. I know. I know. You're coming up with a.
Do another voice, Murray. Do it.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I guess I'll take the loss on it. I think that's dumb. It makes no difference. What does it matter? For an extra 30,000 seats? And F the media. I mean, that's their general. That's their general working philosophy.
Okay, so, but I'll tell you what. You use your same logic. Can it handle the broadcast capability that they want for that sort of game?
Probably.
I don't know. I wonder.
It's a brand new stadium. Yes, probably. Yep. They've had it all season long.
Yeah, I think it's a joke. 30,000. You can't have the AFC Championship game there.
Oh, I could care less.
30. Well, of course. I know, but that's not the point. The point is they can't do it there. It's not big enough.
Okay, well, according to you all, and according to you, Maz, it ain't going to come down to that. But according to me, it might. I want to see it in the soccer stadium. Quit calling me. All right, here comes Gasper. No commercials, just an update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.